Our leader has defined a big dream for Krista, which is to be a set of people who are surrendered to Christ individually and unified in the mission. Underneath that, as the chief operating officer, I've got to help translate and work with each of the ministry groups to make sure their strategies, their priorities, their employee development aligns with the overall Krista mission and enables their ministries to be successful. So do they have what they need? Are we developing people?
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen and Chris Conley in studio today, and we are so glad to have you along with us, whether you are driving or working out or wherever you are when you're listening to podcasts. On the line with us, we have Deb Lim, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Krista Ministries. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Deb, it was a privilege. Last year, Karen and I were at a Lead Like Jesus event, kind of a founder's weekend, and we had the opportunity to hear Bob Lonick, your president and CEO, speak. We were just blown away by all the things that Krista does and the excellence that was demonstrated both in ministry and in leadership. So we look forward to learning a little bit more about Krista. Maybe one of the things that you can do for our listening audience is give them an overview of the vision and mission of Krista.
Krista is a large organization. We're a family of seven ministries, and our vision and mission, essentially, we are loving God by serving people. And the Lord has called us to do that under these seven different ministries. It is our intent that as we go out into the world, we will serve people internationally in disaster relief and community development, or through our veterinarian missions, where we minister to veterinarians, encouraging them to walk out their faith in their vocation. Domestically, we're in schools, we've got camps, we've got broadcast media, and senior living. Truly a complex ministry.
You know, when you say loving God by serving people, it always amazes me how the most simple, straightforward truths are the most powerful. When I hear that and then I hear the different types of ministries you're involved in, I just sit there and kind of step back and go, well, it really is that simple. If we just did that, what a difference the world would be.
Truly. We have a couple schools here, and it's amazing as we're teaching youth. We want to be a place, for example, that has great education, but we also teach people how to love God in what they do, how to seek God, how to walk out their lives following Jesus.
Deb, I'm excited about this particular podcast because there are many different ways that I think our listeners are going to be able to apply this particular conversation to their lives. We have the privilege on a regular basis of talking to leaders from all across this country that really live under this banner of leading like Jesus, and you certainly are one of them. And so we want to hear a little bit about your journey and how you have taken your experiences and now come into Krista. But then also, we have the opportunity to talk to you as someone who has been firsthand involved in the leadership encounter that Lead Like Jesus offers to companies all over this country and internationally. So for those who are familiar with our ministry, they'll be encouraged to hear what that looks like inside an organization on a practical level, and also to hear your journey as a leader yourself. So maybe as an intro, we were talking a little bit earlier, you have not always been in the nonprofit world as an executive vice president. Tell us a little bit of your journey and how you got to Krista.
Well, I've been with Krista nearly 3 years. And in fact, I'm a mechanical engineer by training, and I spent 26 years in aviation at the Boeing Company. Most of my career there, I was a leader. Very early on, I found myself moving up in leadership. But prior to moving up, I spent a lot of time working on airplane repairs. I found, though, over time that I really had passion for working together with people and helping people achieve more as a group and together than they could individually. And so I ended up moving up in some different engineering leadership roles, everything from leading a group that did airplane repairs and AOG, or airplane on the ground repairs, to leading the development of the 787 fuselage and interior. So everything from small groups of 40 to groups of 1,300. In my last role at the Boeing Company, I was the director of structures engineering, and in that role, I had a great team of people who developed the technical methods that all of the structures engineers used in their work supporting or developing new airplanes. So I'm a technical person, but I'm a leader by God's plan and purpose. My journey to Krista is sort of an interesting one. While I moved up in leadership at the Boeing company, I spent more time on different projects. I also had that yearning to get involved in more community service. I volunteered over my career in a number of different places, and I participated on a number of different boards. I was reflecting on what got me to Krista and why did I go to Krista. Well, as I think about it, God led me to Krista. Reflecting on my life, I see a series of life events that the Lord orchestrated. Everything from in my early 20s, my grandmother needed nursing care, and a social worker led us, our family, to place her in the nursing home that Krista has as part of its senior living operation here. And in fact, she lived there for the last 12 years of her life. Later on, when I was married and my husband and I, our first daughter, was in kindergarten, I felt guided and actually instructed by the Lord to place our daughter into our King schools here at Krista. At one point in my career at the Boeing Company, I had just gotten done leading a big team and had just transitioned to a new role that was slightly less demanding and where I had a little bit more team. Out of the blue, I got a call from a man who worked at Krista, and he had been praying about who should be on the board, new board members, and he said my name kept coming to mind. So he called me out of the blue. Now, this is a person I had met maybe once or twice. He was an acquaintance, a friend of another friend of my husband. He introduced me to our CEO and president, Bob Lonack, and I was invited to be considered for the board, was eventually invited to participate on the board of trustees at Krista, and served as a board member for nearly 6 years. Interestingly enough, I was eventually chair of the board, and you know, when you first come to a board, sometimes you tend to think you're here to share your wisdom and expertise. And what I really learned serving on the Krista board is I was there to be transformed by Jesus and realize that he had more for me to do. After the first 5 years on the Krista board, I rolled off for a year and then rejoined the board. And in that sixth year, people started meeting with me and telling me they felt that the Lord wanted me to leave my engineering career and come and join Krista full time. Now, that was a big deal for me. When you think about that, my intent, my whole life, I'm an engineer, I'm mechanically minded, I'm a leader, I always am looking at things in a certain way. It was my plan to work on airplanes the rest of my days. I was not planning to be a ministry leader. But eventually, through a series of events, I was invited to speak to the leaders at Krista at one of their training events. While I was here, I felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me that they would ask me to join them. And sure enough, that happened. They were needing a new chief operating officer and asked me if I would be willing to be considered to be one of the candidates.
Now, Deb, yep. When you are going through this process on the board, and obviously your career has been a very successful career and rewarding at Boeing, there had to be some things in this experience on the board with Krista that began to kind of grab your attention and captivate your heart and mind a little bit. What were some of the things that were putting these ideas in your mind as to, well, maybe I might like to make a transition to Krista into the nonprofit? What were those things that you were experiencing and seeing along the way that enabled this transition to take place?
Well, it's so interesting how the Holy Spirit moves and gives you those aha moments when you see something bigger or different. One of the things that really struck me on the board was we have a school for at-risk youth called Seattle Urban Academy. It's just a special place where we minister to kids, bring kids in who are really struggling in the academic system, and they are not succeeding. And these are kids that sometimes have gone through really tough experiences or for whatever reason just do not have the capacity to make it in the standard system. And we pull them in, work with them, they learn and grow and minister to them so they know and learn that Christ has a great plan for them and they have more inside them than their community or their surroundings may have convinced them of prior. We help people break out of patterns that keep them in poverty or keep them in a situation where they can't excel. So Seattle Urban Academy is one of the areas that really impressed me as a board member, and the leader there, Sharon Okamoto, is truly one of the most anointed people I've ever met. When she would speak, I would feel like I was listening to Jesus. It was just amazing. She was one of the people that showed me there is something different here. There is something more.
I love hearing your story because it really bears out the fact that God is a God of sequence. And as you went through, and I guess maybe in hindsight, you could see, wow, God had me place my mother here. God had me place my daughter here. God used my leadership skills to come a part of the board. That's how God works. As you now are in a place where you have left the marketplace and, as you said, moved into that ministry world, what are some of the leadership lessons that you learned while you were at Boeing and throughout your career as a mechanical engineer that really have been transferable into leading a faith-based environment?
Well, you know, leadership is the same in many respects, whether you're in a faith-based environment or in a secular world. People you lead, they need someone to follow. The leader's got to set the vision, the mission, define the values. When you think about a long-term vision, people need to know where they're going so they can have confidence and know what to do and what success looks like. So the leader's got to set the priorities and ensure the team has the resources they need, and then go help clear the team to enable them to succeed. At that top level, you know, that means looking out for the team. What do they need? What don't they have? But at that lower level, how do I enable? How do I measure within? How do I develop people? How do I encourage people? Even within leading teams, clear communication is essential, and it's one of the hardest things to do. Clear roles and responsibilities, and then clear accountability and authority also make it a whole lot easier to run an organization and a whole lot easier for people to figure out where they fit in. Those skills I learned in some of the big projects that I had the pleasure to participate in or lead in my aviation career, directly transferable to leading people here at Krista.
As we work with business leaders as well as nonprofit leaders in both of those worlds, there's always this tension that you manage between the people development side and at times what's required and what's needed in order to push an organization forward in order to achieve profit, then the whole dynamic of whether it's, you know, building the right processes and stuff. And so there's oftentimes these tensions that exist of how do we manage all of this. When you moved into Krista, you know, one of the things that Lead Like Jesus really does extremely well and tries to replicate in other organizations they influence is the whole concept of the servant leader. So as you moved into leadership at Krista, talk to us a little bit about how you embodied that mindset, that heartbeat of a servant leader, and how you saw that to be replicated with the others that you serve with.
Well, that's a great question. So in any leadership area, and at Krista, looking out for the people, serving as a leader does not mean passive acquiescence to whatever is going on. It means we look out at the top level, what's coming. We try and enable our people to be able to be successful. We hold people accountable in a Christ-honoring way, which means we speak the truth. We demonstrate grace and forgiveness. We strive to develop people so they can become who they're supposed to be in Christ. But we also are willing to have a hard conversation when maybe someone doesn't have the right skills and capability for a job, or maybe not the right commitment. It does no one any good to stay in a spot where it's the wrong fit. And as a ministry, I feel like our time is short and we need to maximize our influence for Christ. We need to step up to the calling. And at Krista, we have three pillars. We're striving to be Christ-centered, service-driven, and professionally excellent. We want to be highly professional, and that means it's not about only monetary achievement. It's about delivering great ministry in whatever we do. And that's very hard. You go through generations and generations of people or waves of people that come through. As you know, in leadership, you have to continue to set expectations culturally, set expectations around what quality looks like, what it looks like to be Christ-centered. So one of the things we're doing here is our leader has defined a big dream for Krista, which is to be a set of people who are surrendered to Christ individually and unified in the mission. Underneath that, as the chief operating officer, I've got to help translate and work with each of the ministry groups to make sure their strategies their priorities, their employee development aligns with the overall Krista mission and enables their ministries to be successful. So do they have what they need? Are we developing people? And in that way, we can enable it. As the leader, that means sometimes I go in and do training myself. Sometimes I spend more time in situational leadership coaching certain individuals who may be in a different place in their development than others. I'm trying to always look and assess, where are my leaders? Each of us as leaders has a number of different attributes, from communication capability to project planning to developing effective metrics to developing leaders and team members. And you got to assess where your people are, understand their strengths, their weaknesses, and work together with them on their development. And again, that takes awareness, it takes situational leadership, and it takes the willingness to invest in each person. One of the things I do is meet with my leaders once a week to talk through things.
What I love about your answer is servant leadership does not mean passive leadership, and it doesn't mean that you're so relational in your leadership that you compromise the commitment to excellence or the commitment to results. One of the things that we see time and time again throughout Scripture is that we are told to do all things in excellence unto Him. I absolutely love that answer. Could you tell us a little bit some of the role that the leadership encounter has played in your organization, that as you know, you have built this relationship with Lead Like Jesus and you guys have had different opportunities to be trained and go through the encounter workshop. Talk to us a little bit about the influence of that in your life and in your organization.
First of all, Lead Like Jesus, I was referred to the organization through Al Lopez, who is the leader of the Best Christian Workplace. And we have worked with Al and his team for quite a long time here at Krista, utilizing the BCW, Best Christian Workplace Employee Surveys, and then the data that comes out of it to dig into how we're doing across our really complex and large ministry. There's a particular area that we were working on that had several years of some tough results that indicated we needed to do some extra work there. And Al suggested I talk to Lead Like Jesus and connect with Phyllis Hendry. You know, I met with Phyllis by phone and talked through our challenges, and she recommended the Lead Like Jesus Revisited book as well as The Encounter. So in order to make this really effective, we followed this process. I read the material, and we decided that we would flow it out to our team and have the leaders read the book and do the workbook for about 3 to 4 months before the encounter. And what that did is it really plowed the ground. And for those who really dug in, there was already a deep opening of their hearts with regard to the material. The Lead Like Jesus material is a perfect framework to align with our big dream, which again is that we would be individually surrendered to Christ so we can unify in this ministry. And by doing that, we're able to follow our three pillars, to be Christ-centered, to be service-oriented, and to be highly professional. So Lead Like Jesus process, we planned, we read the book, we did the workbook, and then we did the encounter. The encounter was incredibly impactful. You can tell when the Spirit is present, and for many of our people, the feedback I got was just amazing. They were truly touched by it. We also went ahead and we trained 10 people to be facilitators, because as we've taken on Lead Like Jesus as the framework for individual surrender, or the sort of the study guide to keep us developing individually, we wanted to keep flowing this out. So we have held multiple encounters domestically and internationally now, and we continue to plan them. We have another one planned for the fall here, both here in the Seattle area and one planned for Africa.
Deb, what I love hearing you share this story, I think sometimes people might assume that an organization that has a mission of loving God by serving people would certainly have all of the head, heart, hands, habit stuff down, and that an organization that's a nonprofit, that everybody's in their sweet spot and everybody's doing what they need to and the culture is just fantastic. Tell us how, even though an organization might be doing fantastic things for the kingdom, why, if there's another nonprofit or another organization out there listening, why they might want to invest this time and the effort that you just described to bring something to their organization that they're missing?
On this journey of walking out our life in service to Jesus and following Jesus, as we all know, that is a transformational journey. And who I was 10 years ago is very different than who I am now. And God willing, who I'll be 10 years out will be very different from who I am now. We continue to learn, to grow, and to be transformed. And individual development is a lifelong journey until we get home. You need that constant perspective change. As Christians, we know we're supposed to spend time in the Word, time with the Father praying, and applying Scripture, but it's really tough to do. How many of us can look at our schedule and really say, I'm giving enough time to my time with the Lord? I think most of us would say, wow, I got really busy. And even though we know that fundamental, doing the things we need to do to stay connected is very, very hard. The Lead Like Jesus framework was just such an excellent reminder. You know, it starts out with redefining and reminding us who we are in Christ, whose we are, and then teaching the habits around self-awareness to see when we're letting pride or fear overcome our leadership. And I think whether you're in the Christian leadership community or outside of it, that's a constant battle. In addition, the habit section of the Lead Like Jesus training really encourages you to spend that time in solitude, spend that time in Scripture and in prayer so that you can stay connected to Christ. You know, he's told us in the book of John, you got to stay in the vine. But how many of us as Christian leaders know that but don't do it? So why would we need Lead Like Jesus? Well, it's a great framework individually to remind you what you need to do. If you approach it asking Jesus, show me what you want me to do different, I guarantee you, he will tell you. I'm working through my second Lead Like Jesus workbook, and each time there are new learnings. The scriptural references, the material is so well put together. It's just made it easy for us because it's all there, and we don't have to go create it ourselves. So that's why we at Christ are using Lead Like Jesus. And quite frankly, I've recommended it to quite a number of ministries because I think it is so effective and useful.
Deb, there were so many important things that you just hit on there. One of the things I just want to add to what you said about the habits section. Frequently, leaders obviously are people by the very nature of who they are. They're busy. And one of the things that we see is that busyness is the enemy of intimacy. If we're not careful, as Christian leaders in particular, it's very possible, and I see this all the time in different leaders, that we allow the work of the ministry to destroy the work of God in us, you know, that we get so consumed with everything else that we actually neglect that internal transformation. And you spoke about that transformation so well. So as you have both experienced and seen this internal transformation in your own life in different ways, and you're obviously now beginning to see that transformation throughout the life of the organization, what would you say to other faith-based organizations that are currently struggling with their vision, their purpose, alignment, teamwork, about how to avoid the quick fix solutions to these internal problems, but rather to do something more comprehensive and holistic like the encounter and this whole concept behind the heart, the head, the hands, and the habit?
As you look at any problem you're facing in an organization, if you don't get at the real root cause of it, you may put a Band-Aid on, you may address a symptom, but you may not take care of your problem. And a lot of the conflicts we have, the disagreements we have, the problems we have are a heart issue. We have pride, we have fear. I know for me, I want to perform well, right? And I want everything to work well. But we also know that the Lord allows us to struggle because it builds character, it builds perseverance. And, you know, sacrifice and challenge is part of the journey. So you need to reflect on that and recognize that. The journey with Christ is not one of constant victory. It's actually one of constant challenge, climbing hills, overcoming them in Him. So development is individual, following Lead Like Jesus has enabled me, I'll just talk about my own perspective change. As I've leaned in, it's transforming the way I see myself. It's transforming the way I see others. It's humbled me as I've recognized my failure in how I've led others, how I've carried myself at times under stress, how I've let fear creep into my leadership at times. So the Lord does not expect us to be experts in everything and to solve every situation instantly, but leaders have a tendency to feel like they should be able to. Now, although the world demands it, God doesn't demand it. You know, when we have complex challenges, we can take the time to go to the Lord, to ask Him to help us unravel it, to learn and to grow throughout that. In addition, the Lord gives us this perspective when we lean into these habits of staying close to Christ and calling Him in to inspire us to invest in others and the growth of others. As we invest in others and they grow, we're able to operate as the body of Christ, achieving whatever it is He would have us set out to go conquer together.
Deb, I love a couple things you've said. I think if we marry them all together, you were very intentional as an organization. What you lined out was very linear. You know, you did the book 3 or 4 months in advance with your leadership so that you were kind of introducing that to them and getting them familiar with the concepts before you brought the encounter in. You were prepared and did the next step to have facilitators in place. So there is a definite strategy and an intentionality that you brought in. But then you also said, not to put words in your mouth, but you didn't have to reinvent the wheel, that here was a resource that you didn't have to spend weeks and months and years developing to improve your culture. You could use something that was already showing great effectiveness around the world. Maybe speak to an organization as we're coming to our last few minutes that is trying to figure out, can we really do this? Do we really have the time in the midst of all of our ministries, if they're a nonprofit, or in the midst of all of the things we have to do in the marketplace, what would be that one thing that you might say that they need to hear that would tip them in that direction of going, no, it is absolutely the no regret decision?
We all want to make decisions and spend our resources and valuable time on things that make a difference. If you take the time to invest in the heart of your leaders, it will change their perspective and the way they lead. And if we can make better decisions as leaders and stay aligned with Christ, we're going to reach the destination He intends instead of the destination we might intend. And if we're serving Him, we know that His plan is the best plan. But we can be distracted, we can be led astray, we can run down the wrong path and fail. So knowing that His plan is the best plan, the quickest way to get to His plan is to stay connected to the Father, stay connected to Jesus. The Lead Like Jesus investment helps your people stay connected to Christ. And that is the fastest way to lead your organization effectively.
Deb, thank you so much for not only sharing some of your personal leadership, but also sharing how Krista has just done an amazing job of embracing the Lead Like Jesus principles of really leading by the heart, the head, the hands, and the habit, the way you've gone through the encounter of the leadership workshop. In addition to that, I think our listeners would love to just learn a little bit more about how they can learn what Krista does and how to follow along who you guys are and all the different things that you do. So could you give our listeners, tell them where to go to follow you and learn more about your organization and all the different ways that you continue to serve the Lord?
We, of course, have a Krista website. And if you go to our website, and it's Krista, C-R-I-S-T-A, you will find that we're a family of 7 ministries. We have got a World Concern team that's doing international disaster relief and community development, and they have their own website as well. We're in many nations out there in the seams of the world trying to help people who are really have no voice and no one standing up for them. You can find us on the web. We would love to hear from any of you. If you like, there's a way to contact us through our Krista website.
Deb, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, for more information on the incredible work that you are doing both locally and globally, go to Krista.org. And if you've been interested from our conversation and learning more about the Lead Like Jesus encounter, go to leadlikejesus.com.